I'll just kind of cover it. So there, hopefully you've heard my dissertation about the advantages of going with an electronic timekeeping process. I wanted to revisit the return on investment on this. If you look, Christian, can you find that one? Let me say that way everybody else can look at it. If you look at the area that on the bottom of that page that is surrounded in blue, you'll see the initial cost of this $47,008.08, plus there's about $250 of implementation fee that would be added onto that. But the takeaway on it is if we were able to save 2.2%, and in talking with ADP, that's a very conservative number when they look at number of companies, and I told them to take a very conservative approach. They did do a deep dive into our payroll working with Margaret and with Angie with our numbers, and they believe that a 2.2% savings would save us about $327,000 and some change in soft costs, and then another $55,000 if we just save 10% in, you know, overtime and PTO type time. So the savings is three or four times what the actual cost is. So here's the dilemma that I'm in. I want to be very transparent with this. They will not be asking for payment until after implementation. So we don't have to pay them now and then start the implementation. They will do the implementation. It will take a number of months for them to do that. They've been very forthcoming with that, the amount of time that they will have to develop payroll system working with our staff. So it will be 6 or 7 months for them to develop that, which puts it towards the end of the year. My thought at this point is that instead of asking for an appropriations, is probably we could include it, if this is the direction the court would like to go, to include it in next year's budget. But at the same time, I do need a commitment from the court saying, yes, Randy, this is the direction that we would like to go and we'd like for us to work with them. Because if we give them the okay, and then in December, I bring this back up. So, oh, by the way, we kind of talked about this, and y'all said, oh, you know, we're just kidding. We changed our mind. Well, we'll probably have to pay for it anyway at that point. So, and on behalf of ADP, we really need an obligation. So what I would like to suggest, if you guys would consider entertaining this, is a resolution that we can present to the court next week that this is the direction that we would like to go and that we would like to commit to this. I will also say that Philip is out of town, but probably we will have to bid this as well. There may be some stipulations where we may not have to, but I'm going under the assumption that we will until I hear differently. So there's still some checking that we'll have to do on that. So, Mr. Chair, I'll turn it back over to you with my request that we consider a resolution.
Justice, y'all have any questions on this?
I did. When you say bid it, isn't ADP the company that we would be using? Okay.
Yes, but any expenditure that we do over $20,000 really needs to go out for bid. There may be some exceptions for professional services, for proprietary, but there are other companies that do provide this service. Now, here's the issue. Margaret and I were talking today. One of the ways that if it's proprietary and if we put it out for bid, they will have to interface with FI. That has been the initial challenge of why we haven't implemented this over the last couple of years, is that the previous company that I mentioned earlier, Time Clock Plus, they initially said that they could interface with FI, and that has turned out, since they've gone offshore, that's not the case. So that's the reason that I terminated that relationship. It's just that they were not providing us what we needed. ADP right now seems to be the only one on the market that can interface with FI.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Higgins, do you remember how much we pay for Time Clock Plus?
I'm wanting to say overall it's about $9,000.
Okay.
Their support, the way that their structure was, is a little bit different. They did have us pay up front for some. This wouldn't be under the previous administration, but I believe the judge's office did absorb the initial kickoff fee for that.
At least with this one, if they try to get in there and start setting it up. For some reason, it doesn't talk to F5. They're not keeping their promises.
That's exactly
right.
They're
not having money.
And they understand that that is a significant commitment on our part. Mm-hmm. And we have been working with strongly with FI on this. So this is really a three-way partnership with us, ADP, and FI.
Okay. Thank you. Justice, any more questions?
Yeah, Chairman, I do. Ms. Riggins, I came in a little late on the personnel committee, so you may have broke down this monthly processing. I'm just curious, is it annual? Is that $30,000 annual we pay, or is that to pay for?
There will be an annual fee, yes.
Okay.
Even after the first year of implementation all that, there will be an annual fee. It's on another page here, just top, which is $45,000 is the annual fee. So we'll be very transparent with that. There will be a cost going forward. And the request, when it comes budget time, again, so there are no surprises, will be that we request this out of County General, because this does encompass all of the departments.
And Chairman, let me ask you this, or anyone else in the committee, or really anyone else can answer this. The pros and cons of doing this next budget versus this budget, this year's budget, is outweigh doing this year's budget to do it next year?
Really? So we're making, what our motion will probably be to pass a resolution to where we're not spending any money today at all. We're just saying we are committed to going with a program, and if you said we're going to bid it out, there could be some other bidder that comes in that does all the things that we want it to do, and that's cheaper than this. So if we're saying as a resolution, we want to go forward with something like this to bring the quorum court to approve, for them to chase it down, because they've got to actually sign the contract before we even spend the first dollar.
So it sounds like we're playing the field a little bit, in a way.
They've got to sign the contract, but for them to sign the contract, they can't commit to spending money that we necessarily haven't committed to spending, if that makes sense.
We wouldn't be ready to spend the money until next year with this company.
Yeah.
It will take 7 months to initiate it, and they don't want money up front. They want the money when it's ready to put into the process, which would be next year.
The only, Margaret's right, the only chance that I could be standing back up here asking for money this year is on the off chance that we implement this, ADP goes into it, and in 90 days, they say, yeah, you guys are ready. And then I might come back and say, yeah, we're going to have to go ahead and implement it this year. But again, we've done a great deal of due diligence, and not anticipating that.
I'm sure you guys have. I was just, again, I was a little late, and I just, how my mind works, I just want to ask you questions.
No, fair question.
Justin, any more questions? Do we have a motion for Mr. Higgins to spearhead a resolution approving them to proceed with this process?
I make a motion to put a resolution on the table to move the time management system forward.
Second.
All right. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on that motion?
So I will have you guys a resolution to present to you before the next court meeting, so y'all will have it ahead of time to look at it.
We just process overview. We can approve, we've done this before in the past. We can approve a resolution that we don't necessarily see. We're approving the concept of the resolution. He'll send it to us. We'll review it to make sure it's what we did agree with in talking here. And then it will be on the agenda for quorum court next week. Good. All right. Any more discussion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
Thank you,
Mr. Higgins. All right, now on to our regularly scheduled agenda. Let's see, do I have a motion for proposed ordinance 24-13?
I'd like to make a motion that we discuss proposed ordinance 24-13.
Second.
All right, justices, let's see. Mr. McGraw, welcome.
Thank you.
You presented this last month to personnel, is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right. I don't think I was here for that, so I'm going to cut you loose.
Back in 2020, we peeled off one of our full-timers at the front desk to do children's programming. We were feeling we were doing far less children's programming in 2020 than we needed to be doing. We had somebody with a master's degree in education working at the front desk for almost no money, and we said, your talents would be better put to doing programs for children. Since then, children's programming has been doing fantastic. Crowds are coming back to the library. Last year we had 275,000 people come to the Conway location. The last month our numbers were up 50% over the previous April. We are growing faster than we can manage. I currently have 7 full-timers and 4 part-timers receiving those 275,000 people when they walk in the door, and I could really use to get that 8th person back. I've sent around some spreadsheets. My payroll is about the size of the Rogers Public Library, which services a population smaller than the smallest Class 6 county. I'm about $1 million less than my peers in Craighead County, Saline County, Garland County. Even with one added full-time position at the front desk, I will still have the leanest, meanest library crew in Arkansas.
Justice, do you have any questions, Ms. McGraw?
I do have a comment.
Yes.
If you will. I just want to voice my support for this ordinance and to that I want to see this go through and move forward. After spending some time in a library, if you see how many kids and families are coming through, it is a very populated, well-used service that we offer. I've also spoken with some of the board members of the library board, and I completely trust their judgment. They are also in favor of this, and so therefore they have my support.
Thank you. Mr. McGraw, I don't have my budget book in front of me, or else I'd answer my own question. You might not know the answer to this. I'm not going to ding you for not knowing the answer. How many employees do you have that get paid in the range of $28,000 a year?
Oh, that would just be the... That'd be the 7 full-time desk clerks. It might be the assistant managers at the 3 branches that have full-time assistants.
So okay.
Possibly up to 10.
Up to 10 people. Okay. These are normal people. These are not college students or...
These are absolutely normal, God-fearing Americans. Yeah, 100%. Blood and guts. I'm not here with everybody else joining for salaries. You guys gave us a great COLA increase last time, but the staff are also making about $3,000 to $4,000 less than their peers. They're paying Class 6. I did lose a couple people to Saline County and Little Rock in the last 6 months. I am getting poached for people, and easing work stress on people is a benefit that it's hard to put a price on.
We worked really hard 2 years ago when we saw the pay that our correctional officers were receiving, and we worked really hard to get those up to a livable, you know, wage. And so I hope you're helping these people apply for food stamps, because you can't live off $28,000 a year.
Yes, sir, you cannot.
So anyways, we'll make it a mission to help them here. One of these days when you get around to
maybe
it.
Maybe September. Let's talk about that.
Talk to Justice Kendrick about that, make sure.
Definitely.
Justice, any more questions on this ordinance? All right, all in favor of who made the motion? Someone make a motion for this ordinance? Was you? All right, I just couldn't remember. All right, all in favor of the motion to forward this on to full court, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you very much.
Thanks, sir. All right, do I have a motion for 2414?
Make a motion to put proposed ordinance 2414 on the table for discussion.
All right. Mr. Anderson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
First slide, please, Chris. I'm here today to talk about 3 ordinances as a result of Judge Dotson coming to me about 2 months ago and asking me to take a look at the organizational structure at the road shop. When I started looking, the first or second slide that you'll see, that's what it looked like. The road foreman, and underneath him there were 40 people. And so, previous slide, please. And so as you can see, that's not very efficient. So I took a look at that and came up with a little bit different look. And next slide, please. And you can see that the new proposed ordinance, or the new proposed structure, is the road foreman has under him his direct reports, the administrative staff, the safety compliance position coordinator, the assistant road foreman, as well as the maintenance of equipment, and then the tire shop. What I'm here to talk to you about tonight are the bottom three that are in green. Next slide. The first one is 2414, and so what we did is we took a position there, and we are asking to rename that position. We went to personnel last month, and this has no money addition to it at all. So I'm not sure that it will need a vote for tonight's finance committee. That being said, I'll go ahead and tell you about it, so it'll help fill in the overall structure that we're trying to work. Next slide. This position of the construction foreman, he will take care of preparing our roads for chip seal and overlays for asphalt. There's often quite a bit of work, especially after winters like we've had, where we have to go in and prepare the roads for the restructure of the surface that we apply on them, whether it be chip seal or asphalt. He's also in charge of the gravel roads, making sure those are maintained as far as grading is concerned. And then he manages the trucks that he'll need to operate his responsibilities. We're also putting him in charge of the bridges. You may remember from previous years, the highway department inspects all of our bridges, and they'll identify bridges that need repair. And we have to make those repairs. Sometimes we have to build new ones. Sometimes it's just repair, but he'll be in charge of that as well. So with your concurrence, Mr. Chair, I don't think you need any action on this because there's not any money associated. It's just renaming of a position. We can go to the next ordinance when you're ready.
All right, so let's see. We made a motion on 2414.
And I would ask that you go out of order to 16 because it matches the slideshow a little better.
I handle that.
Thank you.
So we made a motion to discuss it, or to put it on the table. I can't remember what exactly the motion was that we made. So it's on the table, and we talked about it. We don't necessarily have to pass it on to budget, to court, do we?
Well, actually, I just showed you made a motion to put 14 on the table. Did y'all mean to put it? I mean, not to amend your motion to put 14 and
16
on the table?
Do we need to do anything with 14 or just
14 like, has no money, so I don't think they have to
withdraw your motion.
I'll make a motion to amend to put 2414 on the table to change that to 2416. Put 2416 on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right, Mr. Anderson.
Thank you. This position is the right of way supervisor, as you can see in the next slide of your presentation. That person will be responsible for making sure all the trees are taken care of that are in the right-of-way, that are a danger to the passing public, whether they've fallen or they're about to fall. Also, the ditching, he will be in charge of keeping the ditches clean so the water flows properly and stays off the road and people's property. We have an inordinate amount of mowing we have to do every year, and then we try to get around at least twice, sometimes more when we can, around the county roads. So he's responsible for identifying all the roads and scheduling those mowings. Weather permitting. And then we also spray on some of our right-of-ways. You'll be in charge of the spraying of that as well for dangerous intersections, dangerous curves where growth might be ahead of our bush hogging that we need to make sure it stays under control. And so what we're doing here is we're asking that this position be renamed and an increase in the amount allotted to this position. It'll be the right-of-way supervisor. We're asking for a salary of $56,000 for this position.
Jess, is any questions?
Chairman, I have a question. I appreciate your presentation, Mr. Anderson. So my question is, with all of the shifted responsibilities, if I can use that phrase, is that the reason for the raises? Because there actually is more responsibilities, there's more concentrated responsibilities.
As you saw, there was one supervisor and 40 people working under him. So now we're taking some of those folks and we're making them supervisors, which give them more responsibility than they have now.
Okay. So instead of looking at it as a raise, it's a restructure.
It is restructure, that's right. And each supervisor has different levels of responsibility, so they're not all getting paid the same. And these amounts that we're presenting is not necessarily what we'll start them out at, but the top level.
That's pretty crystal. I do appreciate your information.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Anderson, with the change in a position, are you going to have someone who was a heavy equipment operator? I assume that means a working excavator or something similar to that. Are they going to be out there still working that excavator, but all these people also report to them? What does that look like on the ground?
The whole idea behind this is so that the supervisor will be held responsible for everything assigned underneath them. If they have to get on a bulldozer to execute those duties, that's fine. If they have to drive around and check other jobs, they don't have time to get on a bulldozer, they assign somebody else, that's fine. It's up to them to figure out the best way to execute those duties.
Okay. Are they going to have to, and it may be irrelevant, but because of the changing from a heavy equipment operator, are they going to have to hold any sort of certification for heavy equipment or anything like that?
No, they won't.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you. Justice, any more questions? Let's see. We had a motion, and we are on 2416. So all in favor of passing 2416 to Quorum Court, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. And let's see. We need a motion now on 15.
Make a motion to put 2415 on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right, Mr. Anderson.
Thank you. This position is going to be the grounds maintenance supervisor, and he will be responsible for maintaining the physical facilities at the road shop, the building, the upkeep on the building, the cleanliness of the building, the yards, the organization of the storage of the different things that we keep on the yard. In addition, he'll be responsible for the road signs in the county. When we have one missing or new ones that need to be made, we contract those out, and he'll be responsible for the installation of those. As well, he'll be responsible for potholes, especially after a bad winter. Pothole calls come in all the time, and it's hard to get caught up on that. So that's a rather big job in itself right there. So those will be his main responsibilities. We've asked for this one to come in at $54,000.
Justices, any questions?
And again, we're looking at this as not as a raise, but as a complete restructure of the way the things are.
It is, yes, ma'am.
Mr. Anderson, can you talk to the difference between the 54 and the 56 person?
Yeah.
Or the duties?
The first supervisor will make more, the construction supervisor, because they have more responsibility. The next level of responsibility goes to the right-of-way supervisor, and then followed by the ground maintenance. And so that's why the lowering of the pay rate is such as we're asking.
Would you have, like, I guess your kind of succession plan is not going to be the right word, but, you know, who's in charge when, if someone's, the road foreman's out, is that going to follow that kind of same pattern, road foreman's first and the number two guy and these folks right here?
Yeah, ultimately the way we have it set up is the road foreman, as you know, is responsible for everything. But as far as the org chart goes, he will delegate everything down to the assistant road foreman, who will delegate down to the supervisors. And if the road foreman is gone, then obviously the assistant road foreman will step up. And if the assistant road foreman is gone, the road foreman will take his place while he's gone.
Yeah, Mr. Anderson, I have one question for you. So
yes, sir.
When you were creating this,
mm-hmm.
from your mind, was there any, did you look at other counties and what they were paying? Were these other positions a thing in other counties, or just something you just came up with?
What I did is I sat down first with the road foreman, assistant road foreman, and we developed a list of everything that they're responsible for doing. And then we divided those into categories that we thought would fit nicely in three categories. Once we got those and determined what the individual responsibility of each supervisor would be. We looked at what other counties were paying like jobs, and that's kind of the baseline for it. And we have to say, too, that we want the supervisors to be making more than people work below it, too. So that was a part of what we looked at as well.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions, Justices? All right, all in favor of passing 2415 on to the full court, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Mr. Anderson, does that do it for you?
Yes, sir.
All
Thank
right.
you, Mr. Chairman and committee.
Thanks so much. All right, next we have 2417, our regular appropriation ordinance. If we have a motion.
Make a motion to put proposed ordinance 2417 on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right, we've got a motion and a second. The only one on here that I can tell you anything about is section 6, from what I understand from our county clerk, is that this is money from the school board election. That the school boards that we paid out, that school board reimburses, the school district reimburses us for, and that other professional services line item is ES&S, basically our people that run the machines and the people that program the machines. So that money goes to them and other professional services.
That goes back in county funds, you know?
Back into the elections, yes.
Okay.
We'll also get reimbursed more money from the state, but the state does not reimburse for the schools or special elections. So we have to build in outside versus. And then we can only build in the additional amount they cost us, and that's the additional amount of programming for the schools.
Yes. Assessor, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
On 2 and 3,
yes.
We had this money in machinery and equipment.
So,
was it for something and then it needs to be appropriated?
So 2 and 3, I moved just because Calling Corp came. First an electrician came and ran all the wiring and the conduit and all the stuff to put us to the 21st century for fiber optic. So because our backups are still running and we're on separate IT than the rest of the county. So every Thursday night when our backups are running into the cloud, it is making us spin out and we are not able to even function on Friday. So for many reasons, we need fiber. So we ran all the stuff and now Common Corp came and ran their stuff. So the added for utilities is for the addition in the bill for the rest of the year to pay for Common Corp's additional utility bill for fiber, for what that's going to cost. But basically it's to add fiber on, and for the cost for apprentice is going to come now, this week or next, to do their part to hook us up to all the machines to cam up to get fiber working.
When we originally budgeted for this in the fall, did you have that tagged in your mind, or is this kind of just in the... Okay.
What happened was we have a VPN remote where all of us can remote in. TASC is working right now on our reappraisal, and they also have remote access to us. Our stuff is lagging so far behind. And Randy even tried to run a internet speed test in my office and couldn't even get it to register. That's how bad it was. So we are very much needed for fiber. So we weren't aware of all of this until Apprentice got with Calling Corp, and they started basically saying that our stuff was in much need of an upgrade.
Is using this money for this purpose taking away from any other planned expense that you had? Okay. Justice, any questions? All right. All in favor of motion to pass 2417 on the full court, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. All right, do I have a motion for 2418?
Make a motion to put 2418 on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right.
Megan.
Yes.
All right. So, can y'all hear me? So for 23 years now, the state of Arkansas, for 23 years that I've been here, the state of Arkansas has paid all of our level 4 appraisers, including myself, every year to maintain their level 4 appraisers at a certain level. So all of us that are level 4 appraisers get $500 from the state of Arkansas paid back to maintain that level and for us to all go to classes and get our certifications and maintain those. I have one girl who has her RES. She's one of 8 in the state of Arkansas that has that certification. And then this last year, legislation passed in 2023 that would be now done at a county level. So it's nothing new. It's just how it's handled. So now their fiscal year doesn't start till July 1st. So now this is a pass-through. This money will be put back into the treasurer and put back into the county general to be brought back to be paid to us through. So I'm just doing it now so that once they pay. Actually, it won't be paid until the money comes in.
Right. Yes, and we won't be. She won't write us the check until they pay the county. But it's just, we've gotten this every year since I've worked here. It's just been handled differently now.
So it can be taxed.
Yeah. Yeah. We're doing it now so it can be taxed. It used to just be a straight 500 and a straight 1,000 that wasn't taxed.
I would say I appreciate the whereases. You know, just to be able to tell the story, to be able to tell the story of what's going on here. Yeah. Justice, is any question? It looks like the only cost to the county is Section 2, probably the $345.
And of the 20 of us that there are, these are the ones that are level 4 appraisers in the office.
Okay. This does not go toward their retirement, so that's why retirement's not being held out.
Okay.
That's part of the act.
Yep. Justice, any questions? All in favor of passing 2418 to the full court, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Cool. It's got my name on it. Do I hear a motion for proposed ordinance 2419?
Make a motion to put proposed ordinance 2419 on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right, and the third whereas, this mentions how we passed Resolution 23-8 last year. That's when we had the $10 million of unencumbered COVID money, and we passed the resolution saying, you know, what are we going to do with it? You know, and some went to the animal shelter, some went to the courthouse, some went to a levy program. So what we did is we said that all, this is what we're going to do with it in a resolution. This is the act of actually taking that money and now putting it in the budget so that it can be spent. So we, since we passed that ordinance last year, we haven't spent any of that, at least from the courthouse section here. I think we've already appropriated the funds for the animal shelter, I believe. And so this, I believe, is only the second one of that resolution that has been brought to us. This courthouse is falling apart every day. There's something else wrong with it. Every day they're spending more money out of maintenance's budget to fix something going on in this courthouse when we put this $1 million aside to work on this courthouse. So it's just time. So anyways, did I leave anything out?
No, sir, you covered it well.
Justice, any questions or discussion on this?
Yes, so just to be clear, we are wanting to allocate $1 million of the 10.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to clarify that just in my mind, so we have $9 million.
Yep. And it was the $1 million that we agreed upon in Resolution 23-8. We haven't changed the amount or anything like that. It's what we all agreed upon as a court to move forward with. All right. All in favor of the motion to pass this on the full court, say aye. Any opposed? All right.
Thank you, Justice.
Yes, sir. All right, next we have a motion. Do I hear a motion for 24-20?
Make a motion to put proposed ordinance 2420 on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right. Now what this one is, this one's a fun one. I have a text message from Scott saying a little more about it. we don't think of it a lot of times like this because of the way that we do our ordinances and the way we appropriate money. But there's real money out there sitting in bank accounts somewhere, folks. You know, when the feds gave us $24 million or whatever it was, that was out there sitting in a bank account. Now, caveat, it wasn't sitting in a bank account. Scott was out there doing fancy financial footwork with it and making us more money with it. So what this does is that it takes, I want to make sure, it takes all the interest that we've gained off of this COVID money and it puts it in a separate fund so that we can account for it separately. So that's not just lumped in with all of it and makes things more confusing. That's half of just what this fund accounting is just, it's all money in the same pot sometimes, but it's just separating it out so we know how to look at it and we know how to deal with it. As of now, I don't think these are any of the things in front of me, but as of now, we have made a little over $1 million in interest just off of these COVID monies. So it's not no small amount, right? You can do a lot with $1 million. So anyways, that's what this ordinance does. Let me read my text message from Scott. We're creating Fund 1803 to place interest from the ARP funds. It could be used for any expenditure, but it's just being segregated from County General as a whole because we don't want to mess up what our revenue looks like and everything else. So, crystal clear as mud. Our representative from Treasurer's office is gone. I just want to make sure I didn't miss anything there. Any understanding from all of y'all who understand this kind of stuff? All good? Any questions, Justice? I think it's fantastic that we can take a wonderful gift from the feds and then make interest on it and then do something useful with it. So hopefully, yet to be determined.
Well, I was going to leave it alone until you said yet to be determined. Of course, you know, the core court's responsibility is to appropriate money and to set policy. But the guidance from the judge's office is that probably will recommend using this to pay down debt, mainly on jail.
Absolutely.
As we go forward, but that's the focus that we're looking at.
Yep. When we look at our biggest capital projects moving forward, obviously we have the jail situation going on. We've got... love to be able to get the sheriff's office over there eventually. Love to be able to get juvenile over there eventually. And then eventually we're going to have to dress this building in its entirety and what that story looks like. So we'll solve all those problems in about 15 years. All right. All in favor of passing 2420 onto the full court, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Now I have something that's not on your agenda that we're going to... Yeah, we've got all those.
You need a copy of my agenda for personnel so you have that, those numbers.
I got one right here.
Okay.
All right, we're going to skip forward to proposed ordinance 24-26. Do y'all have that in front of you?
It's the loose one.
It's a loose page. All right, can I get a motion for 24-26?
Make a motion to put proposed ordinance 2426 on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right. So, from what I understand, there's a bit of an emergency, because that's what this does. It declares an emergency, over in the museum. So, I believe that our projections did not come in as anticipated, as well as carryover. So, like I said, it goes back to all this is real money that comes in and flows out, and it's all got to sit in the bank account somewhere. As you know, the museum is funded by a voluntary tax. Most voluntary tax revenue comes in about October. From what I understand in this position is that it's possible that we can't run payroll next time it comes around. That there won't be money there to run payroll next time it comes around. So I believe this $25,000 is to kind of float us until October. Judge, I'm wrong somewhere in there.
No. You caught the gist of it. You know, public finance can be quite confusing. There's what's budgeted, where the expenditures are tracking toward what's budgeted, but then there's the actual money that comes in after it's assessed, and there is a tax date, then there's a due date and a delinquency date. Many people wait until the latter part of the year to pay those taxes, but if we're writing checks against that money, we have to have at least enough money in there by law to write the checks without spending down into the red on actual money. And so this would be a bridge until they hopefully receive their volunteer tax revenue. But I'll just go ahead and tell you, our treasurer told us that they look to be about 30% down year over year on voluntary tax collections. So you should be aware of that. And that's why I wanted to step up to the microphone. It could very well be that the funding that the museum was projected to receive may not. I think it was 57 or so projected, or maybe 70 projected, and they may be tracking toward 57, I believe that what Scott said, Treasurer Scott Sampson. And so you should be aware of that. I had a call with David Grimes of the museum board today after we learned of this, and it's my office's recommendation to you that you go ahead and do this so the checks for payroll can be written. But I asked David Grimes to call a meeting of the board to address the matter. I would think all options are on the table. I don't know if they do fundraising or if they're going to have to make a tough decision on salary reduction or part-time or what. I don't know. I don't feel the responsibility to suggest that. I do know that Randy and I were in a meeting over at the Extension office seeing some of their wonderful programs along with their state officers today, and we walked in and the first thing we noticed was a sandwich board printed promoting the selection of that checkbox on voluntary tax invoices or cards. So fortunately, it's early enough in the year. As you know, the longer in a year you go, the less recovery time there is. So still in the first half of the year, I'm hopeful that they can find all the revenue they need. But anyway, that's the source of that. I think we could technically, and Margaret can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe we could do an inter-fund transfer just by county court order over in the judge's office. But this is such an important matter that you guys need to hear. We just collectively decided, hey, it's best to just do an ordinance, get it in front of you and let you make a policy statement via ordinance, at least endorsing that. But my recommendation is that you do that so payroll can be made.
No question, right. Judge. So let's just say their voluntary tax comes in better than expected and they, have made some cuts, they've changed their budget around, whatever, and with the voluntary tax, this money, could it possibly be repaid to County General?
I see no reason why not. It's our fund that you'd be transferring this into. Again, Martin, correct me if I'm wrong, but
museum money would pay back
as a reimbursement. And, I don't know. Before we transfer those funds, we might want to do a contract for services just to solidify that. We can talk with Phil, counsel for the county, see if we'd need to solidify that with some language on paper. Sounds like a good idea.
Just so y'all know, I think the full museum budget looks to be about $76,000. Is the museum's budget with $63,000 being personal services, being personnel.
So this money does not add anything to their budget. It's just a transfer or recover. So the budget's okay.
The budget is what it is. We're not changing the budget.
It's not increasing it or anything. It's just a fund to fund. It's not appropriating any money. It's just a transfer. Just so it's clear.
Thank you.
If I may, and I don't know if you can answer this, I'm just thinking kind of out here, is there a chance this happening again? Like if this is emergency, right? So emergency could happen again. Is there a chance we have to chart a loan, if that's the right word, $25,000 more down the road? I mean, what's the destination here? I think that's a good question. I think it bears monitoring.
you know, you never know. I think that's why the law's written like it is. You can't write checks you don't have money on. I would expect that the board would monitor that more closely, and if they had to make more drastic changes before having to come to ask for money, and I'm sure they would have been here had it not been such short notice. It's literally been since 3:30 when I called David Grimes. So I'm sure otherwise he's good about you know, appearing when there's matter before the court. But I would expect to, and I'll ask him, you know, you need to remain aware of this. We're certainly going through the treasurer's office. We'll watch and see what's tracking on those volunteer tax. I'm sure all the entities that use voluntary tax funds will be doing the same.
So there were a couple of things that were off to get us in this position. You know, I think one of them was the projection of the revenue that we would see through voluntary tax. You know, that's coming in 30% under. And I think Scott also mentioned possibly the projection of the carryover amount. I'd have to go back and look into the budget documents to see what that projected carryover amount was as we were doing our budgeting. But normally, in this condition, we would never be, you know, because we only budget for most 90% of what's available. So right now, there's not the $76,000 available to appropriate, so we're having to supplement that. Like Judge said, it's going to be up to the museum board to come up with a long-term solution for the museum. Personally, I'd love to see them stay operational within their voluntary tax, because once you put that hand in the honey pot of county general, the hand don't ever come out. That's what I prefer. I don't get to make that decision on myself, but at the same time, the museum is a great service. I've been over there multiple times. I'm glad they're preserving our history. I'm glad someone's doing that.
I agree.
We have to do that. Yeah. So maybe they can come up with some other mechanisms to fundraise, everything else to keep us on track. Justice, any more questions on this ordinance? Just a procedural note as well. Normally, you know, Margaret puts all of our ordinances and our agenda and everything is published on a Friday, 3 days before, at least 3 days before our court meeting. We passed a transparency ordinance. I don't remember what year it was, 2018, 2019, 2020, somewhere around there, that said it was a requirement to post these things, and it's a state requirement too, but we kind of went a little extra ways in the transparency ordinance, but I think purposefully we left off committee meetings because we wanted to give committees the latitude the ability to kind of do stuff like this as needed. So while it's always my preference to not ever have to bring forward ordinances like this that have not been posted to the website 3 days ahead of time for the public to be able to see, show up here, comment on anything in between, for us to be able to do our homework on, you know, just as importantly, it's situations like this that we have the ability to kind of do that, and the court will still see it in plenty of time as the full court. I just wanted to leave that note with y'all, is that it's not a normal practice to come in here and to vote on an ordinance that you have not seen, you know, at least that Friday before. And I don't want to make it a normal practice either. And they know that because they were with us on our journey as we fought and argued about the transparency ordinance. Justice Higgins was, Administrator Higgins was right in the middle of it as a justice, so he understands it. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. All right. Any questions, Justice? Sorry, you are sitting here. Haven't listened to me. All right. All in favor of passing proposed ordinance 2426 onto the full court, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
Thank you, Justice.
Thank you, Judge. All right, Justice, we are muddled our way through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 items of business today. Y'all are doing a fantastic job. I don't know why Johnny didn't bring us food, but we're going to keep going. All right, so we are on to the part where it says all ordinances passed from the personnel committee. So the personnel passed all their ordinances 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. We don't ever get a chance to talk to each other, as you rightfully know. I see Jake in the gym some mornings, but it's not long enough to ever get to talk about, you know, fun stuff. So we just say, hey, how's it going? How are the kids? And that's that. Let's talk about theory. Let's talk about what we do with increases in salaries. So as you know, 2 years ago, we all worked really hard as a quorum court, right? I guess y'all may have not been here, but you might have been watching. We worked hard. Jake was here. We worked hard as a quorum court to get a lot of salaries bumped up. It was during COVID. We were seeing record revenues just across the board. And so we worked really hard to get all our salaries up. The year after that, I don't remember what our COLA was that year. The year after that, we came back and we... Was it four? It might have been four. The year after that, we came back and we picked up some of the holdouts, some of the leftovers that we needed to pick up that were behind on salaries. And then we layered on top of that the best COLA we've given in a long time in Faulkner County at 6%, a 6% cost of living increase there. We don't know, we as justices, you know, we sit here, we don't know what every one of our 400 plus employees do. There's no way of us being able to know that. So we rely on our elected officials as they come to us. We rely on our department heads to make that determination on if our employees are getting paid appropriately. When we set these salaries in our budget, we are setting the maximum pay that employee's line item can receive. There are some elected officials that choose to pay under that max, and that is their prerogative. They have the ability to say, this employee is budgeted for $45,000 a year. You know, Jenny left, she was here 25 years, and now I got Julie, and I'm not going to start her out at 45 because she ain't been here for 25 years, so I'm going to start her out at 35. And then that way, they can build in their own incentives, whatever they want to. But they have that ability. I think some use that ability, some don't. I don't know because I haven't really dug into it that much on who really does it and who doesn't. A lot of times when we've discussed salaries in the past, it's part of the documents that Justice Kendrick's committee asked for. We talk about parity, and you heard it tonight. We're looking at salary parity within the county. Just Judge Braswell mentioned that. You know, the only reason I'm here is because first division clerk makes 66 whatever, and my first division law clerk only makes 44. So I'm here to get that bumped up. So part of that is parity within the county with the salaries, and part of that is what has been presented as well, which is parity with our other Class 6 counties. And Mr. McGraw even mentioned, you know, and he's under, you know, but parity with other similar size library systems, other similar size case counts with other courts and things that we don't know. So there's a lot of things that we have to look at with parity when it comes to making sure our salaries are what they are. We've talked in the past about coming up with some sort of pay scale. You know, the state has a system that classifies personnel under certain pay scales, and they set ranges. You know, if you're a pay scale 5, you're making between this and that, and this entails these type of job duties or whatever. I think Justice Kendrick and maybe our Treasurer Sanson, that was a project that they were going to take on and try to see if that's applicable to us, if that's something that we can do as a county. I believe Saline County does it. I don't know about the rest of them, but I know Saline County does because I've talked to them about it. What happens, I mean, Judge Braswell communicated it more clearly than I can, but what happens is sometimes we give an increase, and that increase, for whatever reason it was given, and it doesn't matter, but you give an increase and it causes a ripple effect, right? And now that goes out through all of our elected officials, through all of our employees, through everything else. And now we've got to work to respond to that ripple effect because there are complaints or everything's out of whack or whatever the situation is. I mean, listen, you can't make everyone happy all the time, and that ain't ever going to happen. But, you know, we try our best. And just like you mentioned, they have the responsibility to make sure their people are paid correctly. They have a responsibility to make sure if their people complain, or they have to represent their people, right? They've got to fight for their employees just as much as we fight for the taxpayer, you know, and they should do that. What I want us to think about and talk about is how can we come up with a plan, a long-term plan, or a strategy, or a system, or a process, or something where we can look at salaries as a whole across the county to ensure that we're both achieving parity within the county and parity with our other Class 6 counties. What I hear and what concerns me and what I don't like is when, well, Office X clerk makes this. I'm just using clerk because that's a general term, but Office X clerk makes this and Office Y clerk makes that. And why would I work for X at this amount if I can go do basically the same thing in Office Y for $10,000 more a year? Right, that's what we should be, I feel, striving to prevent. Our employees should feel happy. You know, they deserve the world. You know, but we shouldn't have to deal with a lot of hopscotching between county offices in similar positions just because the quorum court voted to give one office a raise that they didn't vote to give the other office a raise to. That's my concern. I also want to get into a system or a position to where when Sally, now we actually have someone named Sally. I don't want to talk about Sally.
Bernadette.
That's a great one. All right. Do we have any Bernadettes? Jake said, is that whenever Bernadette learns Spanish, you know, we don't have to come in here and give a raise for $4,000 a year because she learned Spanish. You know, where we should be talking about our positions. We should be talking about the responsibilities of the positions. We should talk about the certifications, the education required, the managerial supervisor experience required to hold these positions, and what that means as far as our pay goes. Because I don't want to talk about Bernadette. And I know she's got three dogs. I know they're all hungry. But we've got it. And I know we are people and we interact as people, but we need to be in a position where we're looking at these positions with some strategy, right? With some long-term goals where we can drive our county forward into today. We've been operating in the past for a little while. I'm almost done. I think there should be a system in place, and we can get a system in place where electeds have the opportunity to reward their employees with some sort of incentive pay, some sort of longevity pay, some sort of pay that goes along with certifications. I think the sheriff's office does that. They have that built into their plan. But I don't like continuing to play onesies and twosies every year with our salaries and what we're doing there. And guys, I say all that because I don't know the answer. I just wanted us to be able to have this conversation, and because I want to hear your thoughts and ideas and any of the justices that remain too, and our elected officials. We've got to start somewhere. You know, we kind of ran into some of this problem with the animal shelter. This is the name of the game with the animal shelter, is that it's difficult for us as a court to come up with a comprehensive plan like that. Because I don't work full time as a JP. I don't think y'all do either. And it's hard for us to put together a plan like this. Like I said, I think Justice Kendrick and Treasurer Sanson have possibly started on a project like that, but it's going to take work amongst all of our elected officials, some leadership from probably the judge's office on this track to get us to a plan, right, to something that works long term for this county, where we can look at, where we can be fair with everybody, where everybody can get compensated, you know, what they deserve and where it needs to be, and everyone's happy. That ain't gonna happen, but we're gonna try. I don't have a solution. I just want to talk about it. Do y'all have any solutions? Just Kendrick, I've mentioned your name three times. Do you have anything you want to say, and our other members?
Sure, yeah. What I've been working on, and basically right now it's still in a rough draft form, but basically what I've got is what I would call a, a foundation document with proposed a grading system with pay bands on it where we can classify each one of the county employees. And my intention for the next step of it is basically to engage the judge's office and get some feedback on that. Does this look like this is something that might be viable? What suggestions would you think, being an elected official that's managing employees and have one of the larger departments, how does this grading system work, and start refining that grading system and that pay scale, those pay bands, to make it look like something that's actually usable to our elected officials and department heads. Because I'm coming at this, I'm not a people manager within the county. I sit up here with y'all, and one of the hardest things of this job is trying to grapple with these pay raises, the salaries that we're giving out, the roles. We don't see what everybody does, like y'all touched on. And it's really hard to do because we're not in here daily seeing the work that everybody does. But I think the goal that I had when I started this is coming up with a system for the entire county that is transparent, it's clear, it's defined, there's a level set of rules for everybody, here's what it is, and then coming up with a governing document that basically tells here's how it's set up, here's how we're going to use it, and go from there. And there's still some things that got to be worked out on it, but that's really kind of where we're at, where I'm at with it, and my next intentions and next steps are to do those. And I think I think it'll be a viable solution long term, but it's still going to take some work. But like I said, right now it's a foundational document, still rough draft. I've got to get some engagement going with the judge's office, and I haven't done that yet, so still been tweaking this last bit. But based it on a system very similar to what Saline County has. Also, I've got their governing document, their ordinances that they passed on that. So I've been going through that. I haven't started hacking it up yet to kind of start tailoring it for Faulkner County, but just going through it, digesting it, reading it, and showing where those, you know, where we're similar and where we're not. So just as an overview, that's kind of where it is. It's really hard. It's just like tonight looking at some of these requests. I think all of them are viable personnel requests. You know, I think one of the challenges, like they've said, is, you know, if one employee gets up a little bit, the others, if I was a manager in that position or an elected official department, I would come ask for my people as well. And so I think this will be a mechanism and a tool that it will allow the court to have a more transparent process, an easier process, like, okay, this person, here they are, and let's just say clerk for whatever, because almost every office has a clerk in it. They're a clerk, they're on this grading system, here's the salary band, it is what it is. Where you pay them within that, you know, that's your prerogative as a manager, here's what it's budgeted for. But that's kind of where it's at, that's kind of my view of it. And any questions, comments, concerns? That's the work so far.
And I hate to put you on the spot because I realize that I'm kind of calling you out, but you were talking about how much work you've done and moving forward, where are you at in that rough draft? Like, are we 50% finished with that? Are we 75%?
So I've got a fully drafted document with every county employee, and it's a draft grading system, so they're classified. Now, what I need is input. Do these bands look realistic? That type of thing. So
time-wise, I mean, are we looking at 6 months? Are we looking at 6 days?
What I would hope is I think we could have something. Okay. I think we could have a pretty good finalized draft by the end of the year. I would hope that would be what I would hope, unless we run into significant issues. Yeah, hopefully for the budget cycle, but that's kind of where it's at. It's a lot to bite off. So, but that would be the ultimate goal. Now, depending on what we run into, as getting feedback and looking at that timeline could slide.
Another thing that made me think of, and this was more of a problem for Administrator Higgins as it was for when I was on the court, but you get a lot of these offices that come in and ask for raises, and we give the raises because they're justified and everything else. But what you end up with is you end up with the sheriff's office being far behind, and it takes a lot of money to get them caught up, right? Because there ain't one clerk, there's, you know, 47 correctional officers. So to be able to work them into that plan and for us to all be able to move forward together, you know, as a county, and to progress forward as a county, instead of almost the wild, wild west that we're living in right now, which is if you want something, you better get it, you know, or you better go ask for it. because ain't no one else going to ask for you. We want to make it more of a collaborative approach moving forward with salaries is what I'd like to. That's my vision.
Does it make sense then, I don't know if this is on or not, to table the raises that were brought tonight in hopes that we can, work with what Justice Kendrick is bringing to the table? Or is that timeline too far?
And organizationally, that was my other question. Some of these new positions, I see why the need is now, we need to do that versus the raises, how do they correlate back to the COLA? It's just something more. So can we pick and choose? And how do we do that? Or do we need to table it for a month and then have the ordinances rewritten?
So you have a couple of options, I guess. Your options are as unlimited as the words that come out of your mouth when you make the motion, right? So you can table for a month like you're talking about. We can roll through and review each one of these and thumbs up, thumbs down. Just Roberts, as you mentioned, you could table. If there's a motion to table, it's kind of, it's almost indefinite, and now anyone can walk in here and pick it up off the table, I guess, but if we wanted to look forward to what Justice Kendrick and Treasurer Sanson were working on, I was talking with Scott on the phone last night, and I asked him about it, and I think he said that they began this process last summer, is what Scott said. So it's something that's, now, like I said before, we're not all full-time JPs, so we ain't just sit around full-time punching in on spreadsheets and stuff like that. It's really up to y'all. I just wanted to have a conversation around it. See if that's where y'all wanted to go. See if you like the method we're doing now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wanted to see where your minds were at on it and what y'all want to do.
So, two questions for you, Chairman. Are these salaries with COLA right now?
We did a cost of living increase in the budget. The cost of living increase was affected, it went into effect January 1 with these. So everything we're seeing right now was with the 6% COLA. So as we normally do things, which one are you looking at? Look at the same one. All right, 24-21. So if you're looking at our public defender position, 47,728. If we approved that, if that was approved tonight, was that updated the budget, usually in December when we decide on that cost of living adjustment, it would be added to this number. That's how we've done it the past 2 or 3 years. There's been instances where let's give a COLA to everyone except those who got a raise this year. I don't like doing that just because, let's keep it easy around here. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, and so my second question, and I don't expect you, Justice Kendrick, to be able to answer this at this moment, but a thought process, what would expedite that solution to get closer? Because if a suggestion was made at table and you guys are creating that thing, is there a way to meet in the middle where the timeline is kind of expedited? So if we were to table this, that we can, in a roundabout way, in a hurry kind of way, to address these needs. And I don't know if you can even answer that. I'm just, again, talking out loud as we process through this together.
Yeah, I don't think I'd give you a specific date on that. I know the longest run out part of that was trying to get data from other counties and Saline and get that stuff and then kind of build it into a weighted scale that could work. And now that we've got that draft document, now we've got to evaluate that scale and does that scale look right? Is it usable? Is there too many options? Do we need to condense that down? So some of that's going to be feedback and workability from our elected officials and the judge's office to say, I don't think this will work. Let's do this or that type of thing. And then pairing that governing document, that ordinance that kind of says, here's what this is, here's what we're going to do, and do that. So I think we could do it by the end of the year. I don't know. It's ambitious, but it... we'll see. And that's timeline could change depending on there's a lot of things going on in the county. How much time do they have to dedicate to it? how much time do we have to dedicate to it and those type of things. So there's a lot of motion, a lot of moving parts in that, but that would be my hope, and we can give updates as we go along with this. But I had my personnel hat on earlier, but and while I said all those requests are legitimate requests, they brought the data, that's 100% true, but now I'm going to put on my budget hat, which I don't have to do too often, thankfully, because y'all are up there. But one of the challenges that we have, while we might have perfectly legitimate personnel requests, is that we've got to evaluate those requests as well as look at all the operations of the county, look at the tax revenues coming in. I'll just tell you, it troubles me hearing that voluntary taxes across the board are down, especially one more than another, and now some of those are coming for county general money. So there's a lot of requests that we've heard about tonight that's going to hit county general. There's other things, talking about a time clock management system, which I think that's something we need to prioritize because I think it makes things a lot more efficient. I think it saves the county money. So there's a lot of things that are going to be hitting county general. So it's the balance of, while these might be perfectly legitimate requests, there's a lot of other items that are also hitting that same bucket and trying to prioritize those and keep them level. And that's the challenge that we have as JPs, is trying to keep that, trying kind of even across the board. So there's always concerns with that, and there's a lot of requests coming through, a lot of personnel requests as well as other requests. So that's just 2 cents to think about, and it's the challenge we face. So,
all right, Justice Kendra, I appreciate you taking time to do this. I think it's really, we need this. And I think the other thing, as I was preparing for this meeting, reading this information, I just, like you just said, I'm concerned with, not that they don't deserve raises. That's not, no one here thinks that. It's a matter of like what we got going down the road and what we got coming up. That's just my concern. And can we balance that out? I'm not really sure. But I appreciate the conversation.
Jez, do you have any?
No, I think Justice Kendrick said it perfectly. I would consider the raise request tonight separately from any hope that we could wrap up a sweeping, yet probably needed and necessary, maybe even overdue system where you have some uniformity, you have some equity, all the reasons that you heard both these justices mention. I think your line of questioning shows that you understand, number one, it's not going to be easy. And we're, you know, over in the judge's office, hey, it's what we're here for, we'll help do it. We're glad to help do it, because I'm confident that we have enough competence here to do what is right. Now, is it unsettling? I'm sure anybody hearing this, any employees watching online, any elected officials, they're there because they're good at what they do. They probably trust their ability to manage their departments alone. But I think if they were honest, they would probably say, I had this conversation with them today. We had an executives meeting today, where, all excluding Sherry, I think our collector's on vacation today, but good and valid requests by very charismatic, very good orators giving you good reasons for good employees to get raises. But then if it's not time for another department to ask for any raises, their employees still know. I can assure you, they all know when anyone gets a raise, and you have the cross-department comparisons between the two, you're invariably going to have inequities. It's unfair. And you're going to have people looking for greener grass, greener pastures, and so on. Anytime there's change, it's never fun, it's never easy, it's always unsettling. But that doesn't mean it's not the right thing to do, and that's why we're here. So I'm confident we can come up with a near-perfect solution. I don't think we can rush it. I think you heard Justice Kendrick say, hey, we'll hammer it out, but at the same time, we can't drop, a $19 million detention center expansion, animal shelter rebuild. We've got a road shop coming on, and I know our administration, which does work full-time, has got all those other things on its plate. I don't think it's anything we should rush. Confident we'll have a good solution in the end. I will take up for Justice Kendrick, anybody else who's spoken in favor of that, because that took courage to do that, but that's why we're here. It's going to take a little bit of trust and faith probably from everybody, including our own selves, as we talk about this tonight in the coming weeks and months. But, I mean, if you step back, anybody that's involved in the organization understands. I think Justice Lahosky said it best when he said it's the Wild West. And it really is. You guys started tackling that, I think, with broad buy-in last budget period when you said, look, no more of these one-time raises or whatever they were called. Let's get everybody's salary fixed and then do COLA and own COLA, good or bad, every year. I think part of getting salary fixed over time is what Justice Kendrick's trying to make happen. So, and Scott Sampson, our treasurer, so I applaud him for that. I mean, it's not easy. I mean, stand up here, is that one of the easier things you've decided to bring forward?
No.
I mean, you can be truthful. Honestly, he's fallen on the sword to do it. It probably needs to happen. I mean, anywhere else you've been, organization size, it's going to be that way. So, anyway, that's all I've got to say. We'll, you know, we're there to help in the judge's administration. So,
thank you, Judge. I felt like I was going to say something, but I forgot what it was.
If you don't mind.
Yes, ma'am.
We'll talk about falling on a sword. I'm an inexperienced JP, and I feel like, I mean, with us as this budget committee, we can look at this and know we probably wouldn't make some of the same decisions now that we made earlier, mainly just due to inexperience. And in my mind, being impatient, I see the need for these positions. I see the need for these pay increases for these families, and I want to rush and give them that they need. But in retrospect, I see that I've made those decisions previously, and I probably should slow my roll a little bit, so to speak. With that being said, I feel like that's part of the reason for some of the inequalities is that this committee has created some of those inadvertently. We didn't do that on purpose, but now here we are. So I also feel like our county employees are absolutely our greatest asset, and I don't want them to feel that they are not appreciated and worth every single cent that we give them, but at the same time, we want to be fair and we want to do what's best for the taxpayers and the county as a whole. And so with that being said, I feel like I need a little bit more time. I want to slow my roll. I want to look at things a little bit more. Some of these new positions, I would absolutely vote yes for tonight. Other ones, I feel like I need to step back and look without nitpicking ourselves, each ordinance apart. I think I want to make a motion to table these that came through the personnel committee, which would give us a little bit more time to investigate and perhaps even see how far out we are on a salary structure.
All right, we have a motion to table. Do we have a second?
A second.
Okay, I'm not fair. Are you tabling all of them, including the ones with the new request for the public defender's office?
You're doing 21 through 25, Justice Coates? Public.
21 is one ordinance, but then like there's a new position to change the part-time to the full-time.
Yeah, there's public defender, circuit court.
Can we nitpick all of those out?
No, it's really up to your motion. You can motion to table 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. You can motion to table really whichever one. Do you have the personnel committee agenda?
I do.
Okay.
Okay, let's... Okay, I'm going to make a motion to table ordinance 24-22 through 24-25.
Hang on.
And then we can go back and put 24-21 on the table for discussion.
Okay, so your current motion is to table 24-22, 24-23, 24-24, and 24-25. Is that correct? Okay. Do you still second that motion? Okay. Sorry. Justices, discussion on the motion for tabling.
So are we discussing the 23 through 25?
We're just discussing the motion to table them.
Yes, I support that.
Justice Coates, you know, you mentioned as well that our county, our employees are our biggest asset, you know, and I believe that. I was a county employee. I think when I hired on here, I was making $32,000 a year or something like that. since I've been watching the quorum court speak to what Justice Kendrick and Judge Dodson said, some of the more contentious meetings were always around salary increases, where you seem to have a lot of personal kind of back and forth and everything like that, which I don't, we don't like to do, right? You know, we want to conduct our business. We want to conduct the business of the people without getting into personal arguments about Susie or Bernadette or whatever. Anyways, that's all I have to say.
And with that being said, I want to encourage some of these elected officials that brought forth things for their ordinances, especially some of the new positions or changing some of the positions. I don't want this to be an end of the year thing. If there's bits and pieces of these that you feel strongly about, you know, bring them back before the court. But at this point, the individual raises are really giving me a hard time to make a decision on right now, because I feel like I felt so strongly about a high COLA that now having to go back and do the individual raises, it's a slippery slope. It's a, if you give a most of nothing, like where do we stop that? And I've made some inexperienced decisions previously, and I don't want to make that same mistake again. So that's where I came with my motion to table 22 through 25.
Justice, I'll open it up to Justice Kendrick or Justice Allison, since you've decided to stay this long. Any questions or comments on the motion to table these ordinances?
I just want to say that we've been blessed the last 4 years that I've been on the court. When I came on the court in 2021, we were awash in the COVID money. We've had it mostly the time we've been here. We've been very fortunate to be able to give it our raises. Some of these guys have been here when they didn't have the money to give those raises. And it's become maybe habitual, and nothing against anybody coming, asking for a raise, nothing coming, anybody coming, wanting a raise for the people. I was reading off numbers for positions a little while ago, but every one of those numbers has a name attached to it that has needs, and pressing needs sometimes. But we're elected to do the hard stuff. We're elected to make the hard decisions. And there's going to come a time when that money's no longer flowing by the bucketfuls. And we're going to have to make these decisions sooner or later. And at some point, you're going to make people mad. I've done it. Most of us have done it at some point. And they take it personal. But that's what we were elected to do, is to make those hard decisions sometimes. If one department comes asking for two raises, when one of those positions is 15% raise or 20% raise, and they're asking for two positions, there's a department out there with 20 positions. They all want that same size raise. And understandably so, not taking anything, not knocking them. We gotta make the hard choices. And sometimes it's just tough. It's just tough, but that's what we're here for. That's all I can say on it.
Thank you, Justice. Justice, any more discussion on the motion? All in favor of Justice Coates' motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you, Justice Coates. So we still have left proposed ordinance 24-21.
Make a motion to put proposed ordinance 24-21 on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right. Mr. Plemons, I'm going to do a recap here, and you tell me if I'm wrong. You tell me where I'm wrong, because I know I'm going to be wrong somewhere in here. You had a position, whether that was part, you had a part-time position funded by state? Funded by the state. The state decided not to give us money anymore.
That's correct.
Okay. And so now we're pivoting that into a full-time position.
Also correct.
Okay. Hey, I was good on everything. All right. That's it. Mr. Plemons, just I'm not educated on what you do. And who do you work for? Who's your boss? Maybe that's a great question.
I work for the Arkansas Public Defender Commission.
Okay.
The executive director is Greg Parrish.
Okay. So the public commission executive director, is there one of you in every county, or do some people get divided amongst counties on population?
Some counties have one public defender office. Some counties are in, those are the counties that are unitary districts. Faulkner County is in the 20th judicial district with Van Buren County and Searcy County. Saline County, everyone's talking about Saline County. Saline County peeled out of its judicial district several years ago and is a unitary district. Okay. So Saline County has one managing public defender and a staff just for them.
So how could they pull that off? We just haven't asked for it yet?
Maybe.
Okay, I was just curious. No, that was an option. All right. Go ahead.
The public defender's office was, as it exists now, was created by the legislature and became effective on January the 1st of 1998. So since then, the state of Arkansas pays most public defenders, and the counties pay the rest of the expenses. Prior to January the 1st, 1998, it was a hodgepodge. Mm-hmm. In some counties, such as Faulkner County, private attorneys were contracted on a part-time basis, generally, to stand in the role of a public defender. Other counties, the circuit judge just appointed someone when there is an indigent defender, indigent defendant. A few counties, the notable one is Pulaski County, had a fully staffed functional public defender office and had for decades. And in reality, our current statewide public defender system is modeled on the public defender system in Pulaski County that was created some years ago. The public defender's office is in each county is funded in significant part by a revenue stream coming from filing fees and from bail bond fees. Those monies are collected up and remitted to the county to be deposited in an indigent defense fund and sometimes, as in Faulkner County, a public defender investigation fund. In addition to that, the county does, Faulkner County does fund additional things for my office. Rent, utilities, paper, file folders and legal pads. And I'm asking the county to go above and beyond that and fund full-time public defender for me, because absent that, I am not going to be able to adequately staff all the courts in this county. I have 3 full-time public defenders. I have 10 part-time public defenders. Part-time public defenders are supposed to only work 20 hours a week, but most of them work more than that. They're only paid for 20 hours a week. One of my part-time public defenders works strictly in Searcy County. She is the public defender in Searcy County. One of my full-time public defenders is the Van Buren County public defender, half-time, half-time here in third division judge, Clausen the Younger's court. One of my full-time public defenders is split between third and second division. One of my full-time public defenders is assigned full-time to second division. You may have heard me mention that second division circuit court, in addition to juvenile court, has 50% of the criminal filings. Third division, 30%. Fifth division, 20%, including all of the domestic violence-related cases. So we have 2 divisions of district court. One of them has a part-time 20-hour-a-week lawyer in it, Judge Carnahan's court. We lost that position, and that's what I'm asking for now. The position, if approved and funded, will staff Judge Carnahan's court and will also cover both divisions of district court doing the first appearances that are frankly very important, but I have not been able to staff. I need to be able to staff those.
So that money that went to that position came directly from the state. Like, it's not reflected in our Faulkner County budget. Because I know sometimes we have pass-through monies.
My salary is not reflected in Faulkner County.
But that part-time position that we're replacing, it didn't pass through this county at all.
It was directly from the public defender.
Okay.
Position. And that wasn't put in the budget because we didn't know the state was not going to fund that when we did our budget?
Yes. At the time I was doing the budget, my understanding is that the money funding that position would extend into next year. Shortly after we completed the budget, I was told it would run out this year. The last I heard was November, and then two and a half weeks ago, I was informed that the money was running out in August, and that those positions across the state were all being phased out and would be retired. So I know that my executive director worked real hard at the fiscal session to try to get those positions refunded, but he's still working, trying to find other revenues, but I'm not optimistic. I think the only way I'm going to be able to fund and staff those courts is from you.
And you mentioned Van Buren and Searcy County. This position will, this public defender will only be working on Faulkner County cases?
That's correct.
No other counties?
No other counties.
I just want them to pay their share of this.
I've tried to get more money out of those counties. I don't think it's going to happen. This position would be just for Faulkner County cases. It may get a little confusing at times because district court judges do first appearances largely by closed circuit TV. And in the midst of it, sometimes they'll break away to Van Buren County Jail and will do first appearances there. And this person wouldn't be able to stand in for those individuals unless they were in the Van Buren County Jail with a Faulkner County charge. So,
could you talk about what would happen if the salary is not increased? Because you mentioned earlier something about not having a public defender.
This is a new position.
Okay.
And if this position isn't created and funded by the county, I will not be able to staff first appearances. And staffing Judge Carnahan's court is going to be spotty. I won't have anyone to assign there. It'll be a matter of attorneys rotating through there from their regular duties in circuit court, probably. So there won't be that continuity of representation. One attorney may stand in with a defendant who's charged with something that could have him locked up for a year at one hearing, and then the next hearing, when it may get going to trial, a different attorney will be there. It's just not acceptable. It's not acceptable to me. It won't be acceptable to the Supreme Court. It's not going to. You may not have heard me, but there is a federal lawsuit against Benton County right now, and that is looking bad for Benton County. If the decision is against Benton County, it won't be long before there's a lawsuit in the other 74 counties, including us. So that is a light at the end of the tunnel that actually is a locomotive. So I'd like to get ahead of that.
Mr. Foreman, so I just want to make sure. So right now you have $42,000 in part-time salaries in our county general budget. That still stays? That doesn't change?
That's Judge Foster's domestic violence court. That's the attorney assigned to that.
Okay. I just want to make sure that it wasn't like a switch or change or anything like that. It's just in addition to.
I wish it was, but it's not. I wish all the money that we needed was coming from the state.
Yep.
But it's not. I submitted some sample salaries you may not have done. They're on the Dropbox.
Through the Dropbox.
Through the Dropbox. There are copies of those that are laying on the table somewhere there. But the examples I've brought are my lowest paid full-time public defender, who's a very good attorney, she's been with me for about 2 years now, and she has already got certification to handle complicated cases. Her salary through the state is a little over $69,000. That, her salary is the amount I'm asking for in this proposed ordinance. It's not my intention to pay the person hired that full amount. I don't expect I'm going to hire someone that qualified. I'm probably going to hire someone less tenure. So they probably won't be paid that unless they're an extremely experienced attorney coming over. Another example I gave was the salary that is paid to Judge Weaver's law clerk, and that's a little over $65,000. Judge Braswell is asking for a comparable salary, which is one of your payment issues. The prosecutor's office has a full-time deputy prosecutor. His salary is a little over $68,000 a year. That's one of the exemplars I gave. Coincidentally, that attorney is basically going to be in the same court doing the same things that on the other side of the table that this position works in district court. I've also included the salaries of two part-time public defenders, lower-paid part-time public defenders, who are paid for 20 hours a week. We can extrapolate. You know, one of them, if we extrapolated it to full-time, would be about $70,000, the other would be about $74,000. So the amount of asking for is less than that. So,
thank you. Just as the only extra, like, little piece of information that I'm just looking at is when it comes to our financial report that the treasurer provided us, County General at the very far right end shows amount not appropriated, $809,000. So out of all the County General money we receive, all the County General money we appropriate, we have $800,000 left over at the end of the day. When you added up all of the increases that were in this packet from personnel, that was about $115,000. That's just back of the napkin, rough math. Museum, ADP, it added up to about $186,000. So it's going to be about 25% hit to our amount available to appropriate. I mean, some of that's not relevant anymore. That was just the numbers I was doing earlier. That's just the number that we have left over. You know, that's the number we've got to play with, I guess. Now, we like to keep a lot of that in reserve when we can for any unexpected emergencies. I think we already paid out a chunk of that this year on something related to some maintenance item, you know, which normally happens. So, anyways, that's the only bit of information I wanted to add to this conversation. Do y'all have any more questions? Mr. Plemons? I think our personnel committee had their chance to ask their questions. Someone made a motion. I don't remember who it was.
I'll make a motion to move this on to full court.
Oh, there you go. All right, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor of Justice Coates' motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you. Take your response.
Thank you very much, Justice.
Thank you.
Justice, I really appreciate the time and the late night for us to be able to have a conversation. Said we don't get to have conversations very often. I don't want to make a habit of us having conversations at 8 o'clock at night. That's what happens when personnel drags their feet and wants to go long. I think we've made clear our intentions, at least as a committee. I think the judge made clear his intentions. I think Chris speak to what he's working on. I look forward to their efforts. There will be a lot of collaboration that's going to be involved with his project that he has in getting this put together. I think this is a monumental change for our county, so it is going to take some time, but I think it's a change and it's progress in the right direction so that we can all move forward and work forward together as a county with all of our employees as well. Any last comments, questions, or announcements?
Know that it's National Police Week, and I'm sitting there sitting at our police, our sheriff's chief here, and I want to say I appreciate what you do. I appreciate your department, and we all appreciate what you do to protect us and help us.
Absolutely. And last week was Teacher Appreciation Week. Absolutely. So Mr. Allison's here, and we can say thank him for being a teacher. And
I'm sure to be County Judge Week someday, too.
Justice Tyler, I appreciate you bringing that up about the National Police Week. This week is the annual week where there is a fallen officers ceremony. It'll take place Thursday at 5:30, and it'll be at, is it Simon Park that has the caboose? I believe it's, is that yes. Called Simon Park?
Yes.
Just across the train tracks over there, it'll be 5:30. It's always very touching. Where there is due respect paid to all of our fallen officers, whether they be county, city, whatever. And there will be family members there of those fallen officers. So it's a, Justice Moss, if you attended one of those, I know you're law enforcement and prior law enforcement, and very moving, very touching. If you've never attended one of those, you should do it. We owe them.
Fantastic. Thank you, Judge. Justice, motion to adjourn. So moved. All right. Thank y'all so much.